This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Oh, Chris.
Oh.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Si. How are we, Chris?
Yeah, good. I'm still sweating. not very pleasant.
It's almost like, you know, three quarters of Europe is having heatwave.
But three quarters of us? What do you mean by that?
Three quarters of Europe.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yes, three quarters of this pair. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how we divide that up, yeah.
Oh, well, I have good news for you. There is rain on the way. Because all I can smell right now is petrichor, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, we've had a bit of rain down here. Not a lot. Not enough to...
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. But yeah, apart from the weather, everything is fine and dandy on this end. However...
Yes.
It's our last episode of the season.
Oh.
So regular listeners will know, last summer we took a summer break.
Yes.
And we decided that this was a thing that we were going to do going forward to give us both time to basically go on holiday, have a gap, not be needing to like sort out production of the podcast like around everything else just for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This year we have pushed it a little. This year we have pushed it a lot later than we normally wanted to do it.
Yeah, it's not quite a summer break anymore.
No, it's not. Well, technically. But no, we pushed it a little bit further this year because I am going to be moving basically from where I am. And so, you know, we needed the time and this was the perfect reason to do a break and a perfect time to do the break.
Yay.
So, for the listeners, we will be back in about a month-ish. Like, look, keep an eye on social media.
A month-ish.
Yeah. Keep an eye on our social media, but, you know, that's the plan.
You just press a play button whenever we pop up again on your feed.
Indeed, it won't be that long. But, yeah. But we do have a topic for the day. Well, like, we aren't gone just yet.
No.
No. What's the topic of the day, Chris? Do you know?
Topic of the day is things that we don't talk about.
Yeah, but more specifically, the sex we don't talk about.
Oh, so it's not just things we... Just not random secrets that we don't talk about.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a different podcast.
Oh.
And before anyone requests that, I don't have the time to produce a second podcast. That's not happening. But no, we're talking about the sex that we don't talk about. So, but like, we'll come around to what that means in a bit. But sort of it's more the things about sex that too often get glossed over.
Yeah.
But before that, what's the tea, Chris?
A tea today. Okay, this is kind of a bit uncharacteristic, but I'm going to want to talk about a Call of Duty multiplayer map that they're putting into the game. And
okay,
for some reason, they have introduced the Singapore Grand Prix Circuit as a map.
Wait, hold on. What? How does that work?
I'm not sure because I don't play Call of Duty, but they have got, as I said, the Singapore Grand Prix Circuit.
So are you? Wait, hold on, because I'm confused. How big is Call of Duty? It's been that long since I played Call of Duty, right?
Mm.
How big are the matches now?
Well, they've got...
Are we talking like a battlefield-sized map where it's the whole circuit? Or are we talking more like they've confined this
just
to
a,
kind
yeah,
of...
just a paddock or something? I don't actually know.
Okay.
I don't actually know, but that is... quite a weird concept in my head because I have been to see the Singapore Grand Prix and that's being a Call of Duty kind of battleground is a bit of an odd concept in my head. Just for reference, the Singapore Grand Prix circuit is in the middle of Singapore, so it's not out in the middle of nowhere. It is inside the city, and it is normally a night. Well, it is always a night race. So there will be, I assume, the death matches or whatever they play or capture the flag. They will be probably at night as well.
Okay, no, that's kind of cool though. Like, I kind of. So here's my thing. I'm always a little bit dubious when it's, we're going to take this real world thing and we're going to put it in a, like, a video game.
Yeah.
Because it's, the nature of video games means you end up making these compromises about, you know, what the scale of things are and everything else. Mm-hmm. With that said, when it's done well, it can be kind of a cool way to kind of get a look at a place. You know?
It's just really odd that it is Call of Duty that have done it.
Is it? Is it? Because at this point, like, we're at the point with these franchises where it's just like, how are you going to make it new? How are you going to make it feel different?
I guess.
And, you know, let's do it around an F1 track. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's do it around a real-world F1 track. It's a logical leap.
Yeah. I guess, like, Hitman has already done it around a fake Miami track.
Yeah. And I'm wondering whether that might be some of where they're getting their experience, because, I haven't played Hitman, don't get me wrong, really, really sort of love the work that goes into them, love to watch them being played. It's not a gameplay style that works for me as a player, though. But that track and that map, etc., is really fucking impressive to look at.
Yeah.
The Miami, so I can kind of see why someone might have played that and gone, hey, like, we could do
an actual one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it won't have all the, like, all the fireworks and all the lighting and everything, is it? Because it's Call of Duty.
Well, I don't know, because you'd be surprised, because they've done a lot more, like, spectacle stuff lately.
I wouldn't expect it in, like, a multiplayer map. If it's part of the campaign, sure, it'll be still really weird.
I guess.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things. It's cool that they're doing it. I want to see more and see, like, how it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it comes out. I'm not going to play it because it's Call of Duty, but yeah.
if it comes on Game Pass, I might. Like, I don't know. I'm missing a good shooter. Well, I've kind of gone back to one, which I'll get to in joysticks, but, like, I'm missing a good shooter. I am missing that.
Yeah, I don't really, like, do shooters.
Multiplayer experience. I want that sort of, that competitive edge back a bit, you know?
I'm just terrible at shooters, so I don't play shooters. yeah, unless it's Mass Effect, which is, I play more for the RPG. So anyway, that's my tea, kind of joysticky tea. But anyway, what's on your tea?
So my tea is, it's less a current event thing, I guess, and more of a, like, okay, someone on the design crew knew what they were doing.
Okay.
And it was a friend that pointed this out to me. Like, I'm not going to claim any credit on this. This is a friend that pointed this out to me, but it's not my place to name them, okay? So, the Pokemon Center has had an exclusive promotion card for fans that have been to the one in, I think it's the UK. I'm just pulling up the thing here. Yeah, so it's limited to people, it was limited, because I have tried to acquire one of these and you can't get them anymore. It was available in the UK, the US and Canada, and it is called a Special Delivery Charizard. Now, you haven't seen this yet. I'm going to send you the photo. We'll put a link to an article with this in the description. Chris, okay, Tell me what Charizard is wearing.
Uh, Oh, yeah, that is totally a leather harness.
That
yeah.
is a leather harness.
Yeah.
Not only is it a leather harness, he also has a Pikachu riding on his back that looks like he's wearing a meerkat. You're not telling me the artist didn't know what they were doing.
I wouldn't go as far as that. That's,
you are not telling me the artist did not know what they're doing. And it's special delivery Charizard. I'm just like, okay, you'd like hats off to you. I see what you've done here. Now, let's go full disclosure on this. This is probably not what it's meant to be. I see that, but it's one of those situations where you look at something and you have to do a double take. That looks a hell of a lot like one of the harnesses that I'm in the process of ordering.
Sure. It goes directly underneath. Yeah, okay.
That's my tea. Just if you've not seen it already, search up Pokemon Center Special Delivery Charizard and you will see what I mean. Like any like Google search, etc. Oh, you might need to put trading card game on the end because it's for the TCG. It's a legal card in the trading card game.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
I love it. It's awesome. I love that its first move is Happy Delivery as well. I mean, its second one is Flamethrower, and you know.
I mean, you can interpret that however you want. Exactly. I'm not gonna stop you.
Please go to your local clinic. But yeah, that's my tea. It's like Pokemon artists know what the fuck they're doing, should we say.
Okay. Maybe.
But with that, shall we head into the bag?
Yeah, okay. Let's do the bag.
Okay, so this was my idea. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this, mm-hmm. and just to repeat, like, we're talking about, like, the sex that doesn't get talked about. And it's like, there's a lot of things when we sit here and we talk about, oh, you know, this kink, that kink, BDSM in general, sex in general, etc. Yeah. We kind of gloss over it because it's not the sexy bits. And it's not the bits that people want to, like, focus on that much. But it should get spoken about sometimes because, you know, people come away with this, like, interesting idea of what sex is that doesn't actually line up with the experience.
Okay.
And so I figured we would kind of just go through a few of these. It's not going to be the most in-depth topic that we've ever done.
No.
But I figured we would start with kind of, let's say, like, you're going through the process, like, everything's gone well, you've got to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to the kissing and the cuddling, etc.
Yeah, okay.
We never talk about that. We never talk about how, like, much time can be spent just in that phase, like getting into that headspace.
Oh, God, yeah.
And sort of getting yourself, like, we've spoken about, like, dom and sub headspaces, but we've never spoken about the fact that, like, part of the process of building there is that sort of, that little bit of back and forth and that little bit of sort of, it's almost like a bit of a tug of war of sort of, like, getting each other, like, built up to that point of, hey, we want to get down to this.
Yeah, in the dom sub talk, you know, mm-hmm. there is a lot of, oh yeah, the sub should always be ready for the dom to, you know, to do whatever he wants to you. You're like, nah, that's not.
No, it's not. And this is my thing. It's just like, everyone's like, you'll get people that, like, are in lifestyle and they're like, oh yeah, the sub is always going to do this, the sub's always going to do that. No. Number of times I turned around to you and said, hey, this is what I want to do. Like, we're going to do this tonight. And you've turned around to me and gone, yeah, about that.
No, I mean, that depends on your negotiation, of course. But you can't maintain that kind of intensity all the time.
Exactly. And I, like, this is the kind of thing that I want to just kind of touch on with this episode. Like, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in sex that means it is not a straightforward line from point A to point B, you know?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Like, so for example, like, I don't tend to use them very much anymore because that's my choice and it's up to who I negotiate with, but condoms.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone kind of gets this impression in the head of, like, condoms are one size fit all.
Mm.
And you see these videos online of, you know, you can stretch it. It's like, if a guy says a condom hurts, you can stretch it over a foot, this, that, and the other. Okay, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
There's a difference between being able to maintain an erection and maintain it around your foot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Condoms come in sizes.
Because your foot doesn't change in size, and your dick really does.
Exactly. And it can be a significant shift in size for some men between being hard generally and being at the point of being at the edge. Uh-huh. Condoms do come in sizes, and this is what people like. Admittedly, some brands, there's one in particular, but I'm not going to name names because, frankly, they're big enough and don't need the free advertising, have started advertising on social media, etc., of, oh, we do sizes.
Yeah.
Condoms have always done sizes.
Yeah.
There are specific brands out there made to measure if you don't fit into the standard sizes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is a... I believe, I'll say this brand name because it's a smaller brand, but I think it's My Fit or My Size. Literally, they have a thing that you print off, and it shows you how to make sure it's all to the right scale and everything, and wraps around, etc. And they basically have something 25 different sizes to choose from to make sure that you've got the right fitting condom.
Okay. So they're like the kink 3D of...
Basically, yeah. No, it really is. Think of the kink 3D chastity measurement thing, but for condoms, and you've got the right sort of idea.
Mm.
And it's just it's important to wear the right size.
Oh,
I'm not saying go out and get one of these specialist alting and aldantin absolutely measured to size, but if you need a slightly girthier condom, get the slightly girthier condom.
Yeah.
Because, yes, condoms are incredibly effective. But they're incredibly effective under optimum use.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're not using them the right way, they're not as effective.
It's kind of self-explanatory, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what can happen if a condom doesn't fit you?
Well, no, but this actually brings me around to one of my next points. If the condom doesn't fit you, it can break. If you've got an ill-fitting condom, it can break or it can come off, right?
Yeah,
that's what do you do in that situation? If you're plowing away at someone, and it snaps or it comes off or whatever, what do you do?
Well, you just have to say it. Really, you just have to say, oh, oops, this broke. Sorry, shit happened.
You stop for what?
Yeah. You stop, put on a new one.
You put on a new one. You check in with your... Well,
yeah,
sorry. Before you put on a new one, you check in with your sub or your bottom.
Yeah.
Then if they're still okay to continue, you put on a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry on. And I'll say this, as someone who's been on both ends of a condom breaking, the top will nearly always know. I have yet to have one break on me and not know.
Fair enough.
Okay? So, If you're fucking someone and you think the condom might be broken or something, check.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely been in a situation before where I was using one and things were starting to feel a lot warmer than I'm used to it feeling in a condom, and I wasn't sure if it had broken or not. It hadn't. However, it had stretched a bit thin because when I pulled it out, I was able to check.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's no harm in having to stop a session to check that.
No, you'd rather do that.
You know the number of times I've seen people oh no, he was going back to get me off to the edge and then had to stop. I'm just yeah, because he was trying to protect you.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do that.
And, you can get there again.
Exactly. I understand it might be frustrating. Trust me, I do. It's no more fun for the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But this is what we do.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you something else that people don't talk about enough. Lube.
Oh, okay. I've actually had a friend on my bondage chair.
Mm-hmm.
And, basically, we went to put a vibrating prostate massager in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to have used a particular brand of lube that he was slightly allergic to.
Yep. And that's what I wanted to come around to.
Hmm.
No two lubes are the same.
No. I mean, at that time, there was no way actually for me to know about it, you know, his particular thing with lube, with that brand of lube.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, he felt a bit uncomfortable, and that was okay.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about don't use certain lubes with certain toys, don't use oils, condoms, etc. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the fact that the human body is a thing, and the human body is going to have its own reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys, not a problem. They can use any lube in the world.
Yep.
Other guys, myself included, can't use certain ones. Yeah. And honestly, sometimes it's a case of I don't know until we've got started.
Oh, that's
because there are certain lubes that just burn.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know what it is, but for me, there are certain ones that just burn.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's always a good idea to have two different types. Two different types, a water-based, a silicone-based, because that way you're covered for allergies and toys.
Yeah.
And try and make sure that, you know, you have pretty good brands between them, but you've got options sort of thing.
Yeah.
One thing I have found is, with one particular brand, it wasn't... There was a common component, basically, in both the water-based and the silicone-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably that my skin didn't like.
Okay, that's fair.
So I like, usually now I have two different brands. I have one brand of water and one brand of silicone of two different brands.
Yeah. So I spoke to, you know, the guy that I was playing with. The particular brand of lube that I have used was pretty common. Like, a lot of venues would provide that particular brand for free. But he had a problem with that brand, which is fair. One thing that he told me that he does is he tends to bring his own lube to events.
Yep. I know a few people like that.
Yeah.
Because some people choose to do that because of allergies and things.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just prefer knowing that, hey, like, if I brought my own and you're using that, I know everything's kosher with that.
Yeah.
And I get that angle. I really do. Some people choose to bring their own condoms and what have you to events that provide those as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Bottom line is, if that's what you want to use, that's what you want to use. There's no problem with that.
Yep. Allergies is a thing, basically.
Allergies is a thing, but also, like, even if it's not necessarily an allergy, irritation can be, and you're dealing with an area of the body that's more sensitive to that kind of thing.
Oh, true. Yeah.
You know?
True.
Like, there are some things that people will be fine with on the skin, but they won't necessarily be on the hole, or on the dick, or whatever. Like, there's someone that I know who, they tried a warming lubricant.
Sure.
Didn't realise that they were allergic to the warming chemical in there.
No.
That's not an allergic reaction you want to have, I'll tell you that much.
I mean, yeah, that kind of thing, again, you probably won't know until it's happening.
Exactly. So, I guess at that point, are we encouraging masturbation? Try a little bit at home first?
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, you go to someone else's place, this particular brand of lube. Oh, we're doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
I've never seen this brand before. Okay, what do I do? Well, I've got to try it, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And if it turns out that there's a problem, stop. It's A-okay to say stop.
Yep.
Like, you can stop at any point if it's not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, people glass over a lot of this stuff. And I get it. It's not the, like... It's not the most glamorous thing to talk about. It's not the, like, the nitty-gritty, this is the bit that I'm really into kind of stuff. But it's just like, we should talk about this stuff. This is part of the experience.
Yeah. Yes. You know, a bit of more be aware, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that I don't know if it comes into this, but, you know, when you are giving a blowjob and you kind of end up with a bit of hair in your mouth, that's really annoying.
Feel personally attacked right now, but okay. I offered to trim. No, but you're absolutely right. And the thing is, it's just like, that's one of those things. It can just happen and you don't know until it happens. But it's just like, if you've got the chance, stop and take it out if you can, you know?
Yeah. If you're tied up, then bit different.
No, and that's fair. And like, for God's sake, like, don't be reaching down someone's throat to try and grab it, etc. Like, just untie the person, let them go and rinse their mouth, etc. You can tie them back up.
Yeah.
You know?
That usually is not a problem, to be fair. Like, a bit of hair in your mouth is not an issue in the grand scheme of things.
No, but it depends where it is. If it's on your tongue, then, you know, stick your tongue out and just, like, Dom can just grab it off sort of thing.
Yeah.
If it's like, in the back of your throat, I'd have to go and get rid of that because I can't stand that feeling.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another one that people, like, they try and gloss over like this doesn't happen.
Okay.
Chris, what happens when you dig a garden?
When you dig a garden?
When you're digging in a garden, what happens?
You get muddy.
Exactly. So you know when you're fucking an ass, you're basically digging a garden. Yeah. You can get muddy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. The deeper you go, the more likely you're gonna get
exactly. And I don't give a fuck how long you spent cleaning out. Like, you could have spent 2 hours cleaning out. Please don't. That's bad for your health. But like, you could have spent forever and a day cleaning out. There is still a chance. And you know the number of people that I hear get so caught up on, but there was a bit of something on the condom. On both sides of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your fucking ass. Yeah. It's a place where shit resides. It's going to happen once in a while.
There are people who get caught up with this, like, who takes it, like, really, really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the extent that, you know, they would adjust a diet before, you know, a day before fucking or something like that. Just over the top.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's people I know, it's like, oh no, I'm not eating today, I'm having sex tonight. Fuck that shit, get some food.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. If he's expecting to fuck you, he's already prepped that this might happen. And if he hasn't, then he should. You know?
Yep.
Like, I get it from a perspective that some people really don't like being dirty. Some people really don't like dealing with dirt.
Mm.
But I'm not being funny. It can happen. What do you want? You know?
That's, yeah. You know, the other thing about douching.
Hmm?
You know, the other thing about douching is there was once when I have douche. I didn't get all the water out.
Oh, that's far more common than you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Far more common than you think it is. And I have done that myself. I think there's also a thing that some people do it too much.
Yeah.
And so it gets stuck further up and it doesn't dislodge until they're moving.
Yeah, I think that was probably what I did that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't understand these people that are just like, oh, I've got to get 4 enemas in there before I release anything. It's just like, who are you sleeping with, the Hulk? Like, is Mr. Fantastic reaching up in there and like playing with your colon personally? I don't know, man. I don't know. I just... Scat and all that kind of thing, like, it doesn't work for me. But if it's on the condom or it's on my dick afterwards, I'm just going to either take the condom off or go to the bathroom and wash my dick. Just gentleman's bird bath, that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. You know, no, but am I wrong?
No.
See, I'm curious to see what else you can think of, because it's just like... I hear a lot of these things, and like some of these things, like I'll see because I'm predominantly on the top side of things. You will definitely have some that I don't on the other side of things. Like the douching ones, one I hadn't even considered. I mean, size is the one that jumps out at me as well.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. So, like, I've met people get really hung up about, oh, they've got to have a certain size because otherwise you won't hit my prostate.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, really? Some of the best fucking, like, sex I've had has been with smaller guys because they can hit it repeatedly every single fucking time.
Hmm.
It's not as far up as you think it is.
Oh, no. No, it isn't.
You know?
Oh, it really isn't. No.
But I think that's one, like, for both sides, because I know as a top as well, like, there's definitely times where I'm screwing with a guy, and it's like, I don't know if I'm hitting it or not with him. And some people, there'll be people sat out there right now, I guarantee you, with this attitude of, oh, well, it's not a good top. It's like, no, everybody's body is different. Everybody's, like, the prostate is generally sort of, you know, up and forward slightly, but, like, it's not in the same place for everyone.
No.
Some guys you're going to be able to hit it every fucking time. Some guys you're not going to hit it apart from about half the time. Some guys you're just going to fucking struggle because your dick's not shaped that way and you aren't able to, you know, manipulate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me quite a long time to find where my prostate is.
Same. Honest to God, same.
Yeah.
Because it's just genetic difference. Like, natural variation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for me, certain positions work a damn sight better than others.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are some positions that if I can get a guy into it and I'm into it, like, I will ride that all day and I will flood the gates, as it were. There are other positions where, like, you can go at me for 2 hours and I ain't getting there.
There's no such thing as, oh, yeah, this is... Yeah, this particular setup is guaranteed to hit, you know, a bottom's prostate. That doesn't exist.
Any guy who turns around and goes, oh, I can hit it every time, is a fucking liar. He's an absolute fuck. Unless he is sleeping with the same guy every single time,
yep.
And probably the same position more than likely every single time, he's a fucking liar.
Yep.
I don't care who I've just upset with that. If you're sat out there going, oh, well, I can't, no, Sunshine, you can't. Someone's just being very nice to you.
You can't, yeah, you definitely can't hit everyone's prostate, you know, on the first go. After some kind of, you know, experiment, then, yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. You just got to keep practicing.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, keep practicing, keep communicating.
Well, this is what I was about to say. Communication during sex as well.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about it as like, oh, once you've worked out what you're doing, then you're on your way. No. Talk to your guy.
Yeah.
Whatever side you're on, talk to your partner and go, hey, like, that really worked for me. Like, do that again. Or, yeah, that's really not working for me. Or, you know, slide your hips a bit to the left and go at me at a slight angle or whatever. Whatever works for you.
I know, right?
Communicate in the middle of sex. It's fun.
I know, right?
And don't be afraid to laugh. Because as you're communicating, you might fuck up and, I don't know, pull too far out or, you know, lose your... Like, if you're leant over someone, lose your hand and it slide out from under you or whatever. It's fine. Have a laugh. Some of the best sex I've had has been laughing my arse off as we've done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like... The thing is that if a particular position works for you, it works for both of you, then that's great, but it's really easy to shift slightly and then you lose that completely immediately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want to get back to it, you need to say something.
Exactly. And I'll also say this. It can be that you find a perfect position and you were going at it and you do slip and you do lose it and you can't find it again.
Mm-hmm.
I have definitely had a session like that with you where that happened.
Yep.
And it's no one's fault. It's just what it is.
Yep.
The body is weird. That's the bottom line. The body is fucking weird. Some things will work, some things won't.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the next thing to talk about is probably coming itself.
Yeah.
The actual orgasm. You don't have to have an orgasm to have good sex.
No, you don't.
As a lot of trusted boys will tell you, but even if you're not a trusted boy, you still don't necessarily have to have an orgasm.
No, absolutely. And then the other thing I'll say is, as a top, you don't have to. It's like, especially like, so many people get caught up in their heads when they're topping of, oh, I've got to reach this, I've got to get to that. Mm. One, slow down, stop thinking about yourself, like, talk with your bottom. Two, you don't have to. It's nice to, it's not a requirement.
No. No. You know, the whole, that's why people edge.
Yeah.
Partly.
No, no, but it's true. Like, I mean, I get jealous of the guys that can do it for fucking hours on end, because I've like, after five, 10 minutes, I'm sat there like, how the fuck are you still going? But, you know, but like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, even if you do, well, no, I mean, there's two things to this. Even if you orgasm, you may not actually come.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been sex I've had where I've had the orgasm but not the cum shot.
Fair, yeah.
Even if you do cum, it might not actually be while fucking.
That's fair, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can pull out and finish yourself off.
Exactly. After,
yeah. I mean, that is actually very common in porn.
It's that.
Yeah, doesn't mean you have to do it.
Exactly. But it's that, and also, like, sometimes you might be fucking and, like, the bottom gets tired.
Mm.
And, like, I've done all I can do, doesn't want to keep going. And if you're on the bottom and you've hit that point, speak up. You don't have to wait. Just speak up and go, hey, like, it's not really working for me anymore. It's not you. I'm just, like, I've hit my limit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just fucking nice and not to.
Okay.
No. Okay, so as someone from, like, the top side of things more often,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely been sessions I've had where it's just, like, the sex has been great.
Yep.
And I've really enjoyed it.
Yep.
But I wanted to finish by hand, either cuddling with the guy or kissing or whatever.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, that is fair.
Just because you go in doesn't mean you have to come in.
No. That's, yeah. That much is true. From, you know, if you're at the bottom, is it nicer if the top comes in you? I don't think it really makes a difference to me.
Honestly, I think that's personal preference.
Yeah. It doesn't make a difference to me. It doesn't mean that's just me.
I honestly don't know for me. Like, on the times that I've been on the sub, on like the sub or bottom side of it, not that the two are interlinked, just for me, that's how it is.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't think it's made a difference, but if I'm honest, it's not something I've paid attention to.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I want to talk about is when I do top and I have come inside a bottom's ass, there's sometimes there's a tendency they try to pull off me too quickly, and it's annoying.
Okay, from what angle is it annoying?
As in, I haven't quite finished.
Okay. See, I was going to come at this from the other angle as well of, I'm too sensitive to do it straight away.
Okay.
It's like, for me, very much depends on the kind of sex that we've had and how long and everything else, but, like, there are times where it's just like, I will finish, and I want you to hold still for just a few seconds to let my sensitivity come down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Whereas, you know, I've started coming. Okay, I'm coming now. Don't pull off me, Ed. I haven't finished.
No, and that's another thing. Like, should we talk about, like, actual, like, cum shots and what have you?
Okay.
Because, like,
sure.
There are some guys that it looks like Mount Vesuvius is going off for another round.
Mm.
And there are other guys where it's just like, it's not that much, but they've still had the orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that, again, it comes back to what we said earlier. There's natural variation.
Absolutely.
It depends on so many factors. It depends on, are you hydrated enough? Have you had enough, like, vitamins, minerals, and everything that you need?
Yep.
Are you just naturally a heavy shooter?
Oh, yeah. There's some people who shoot a ridiculous amount.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take, you know, 2 weeks to get of not coming to get there, you know.
Yeah. Like, for me, it very much depends on how has the session been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some sessions where it's just like, it's just a bit of a dribble and we're done. There are other days it's going over my head because it's been that good. I don't know which day is going to be which.
Exactly. You know, when you shoot a lot, it feels amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not really to do with how good the sex has been.
Exactly.
That's nothing not really that much to do with it.
I think for me it can be, but it's not a hard and fast thing. Right. If the sex has been more mind-blowing, it's more likely, but it's not a guarantee.
For me, it's more like, oh yeah, if you have been fucking for quite a while, then yeah, obviously I'm more likely to come more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's another one as well. You've just reminded me. If you've been fucking for quite a while.
Yeah.
You can be having the best sex in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can honest to God be having the best sex in the world. But there's only so long it's going to stay hard.
That's true.
Because if I'm like, I've had everything from, you know, a fucking, you know, 5 minute shuffle through to a bleeding 3-hour, 4-hour plus session. At some point in the middle of that three, 4-hour plus session, I'm going to want a break.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go from like fucking back to oral, back to kissing. I'm going to like keep switching things up.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm bored. It's not that I've got ED, because trust me, it's been checked and everything else. Like, it's like for various reasons over the years, my hormones have been checked. But like, it's just one of those things. Like, guys, it's not necessarily a problem that, you know, you went softer over the course of a 2-hour session.
No.
You know?
Of course not. Yeah, of course not.
I'm not saying if you're having problems getting it up at all, don't get it checked. I'm not saying don't talk to your doctor, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes these things do actually happen.
Yep. Oh, and if you get soft in the middle of it and you, well, if you lose a condom inside your bottom, then what happens?
One, tell your bottom. And two, like, give them chance to go and sort that out. That would be my thing.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
But I've thankfully had never been on the receiving end of that, so.
These things happen as well. But we don't talk about it.
No, we don't. And that's. But this is why I wanted to do this episode, because it's just like there's so many of these little things that are just like, none of them are big enough for their own topic. But something like this, where it's just like, hey, this is a thing that does fucking happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what about when you're cuddling and all of a sudden the touch felt really ticklish?
See, I can't say anything to that because you've done that to me before.
Oh, that happens to me a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to tease you at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But this comes back to that thing that I was saying about, like, you can have a laugh during sex. Sex is inherently funny if you think about it. Because it's the most fucking stupid thing that we will ever do, in some ways.
Okay. I don't know how to react to that.
I don't know. I just... Have you ever watched porn without the sound on? Not with the intention to jerk off, just being stood there and it be on, and like with no sound.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, anyone who's been to the Eagle in Manchester, into the Dark Eagle, knows this, right?
Yeah, and Fight Club in Bristol, yeah.
It can be some of the fucking weirdest thing to watch.
I mean, it can be. Some porn is just absurd.
Some of it's just absurd. But one of the reasons I say, like, sex is funny, you ever seen the faces that people pull during sex? Like, there was an entire meme of this a few years ago where they would take, like, screenshots where you couldn't see anything nude, but you saw, like, the expression of faces. Oh, well, you know, when he brings the washing in on ass or something like that, I don't know, something daft like that, it's just like a guy in the middle of the fucking orgasm. The fucking faces are ridiculous. I'm sorry, they are.
I mean, when you talk about absurd porn that I have watched without sound, the only scene in my head that I cannot get out from my head is at Fet Club. They were shooting a scene inside like a warehouse or a factory of some sort,
mm-hmm.
and they had someone tied to a pallet on the forklift truck.
Yep.
And there was another guy who was driving the forklift forward so that the guy kneeling on on the pallet would go, his mouth would meet another person's cock. That was the most absurd scene I have ever seen.
I'm sorry, just give me a moment. I'm just looking up the health and safety phone number. Like, that's very definitely a violation of a standard somewhere. Why?
Exactly. Everyone I was talking to who were watching that, I was like, what the fuck is going on there?
Okay, then. Okay. I mean, this just adds further credit to my thing of, like, the things that people do in sex are ridiculous. I'm like, please do it safely. Please don't use a forklift truck, but, like, you can have a laugh, you know?
Don't use a forklift.
Please tell me that for the anal scene they were just raising and lowering the front bars.
No, that's too slow.
Depends on the size they're using. Oh, I love it. Have we missed anything, Chris? We probably missed quite a few things. I'll probably come back to this one at some point.
This is an endless topic, really.
Yeah. I think this is a topic that I might come back to once I'll create a new list of some things.
Yeah.
But, like, my point is this. We talk a lot on this show, and this is kind of why I wanted to do this on, like, the season end, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot on this show, and we have talked a lot on this show with guests and everyone else about, like, what X or Y kink is and how it's done and, like, now our experiences of it and this, that, and the other. My kind of point with this is what you see in porn, what you hear talked about on, like, kink programs, on sex education programs, this, that, and the other, is the idealized, sanitized version. As daft as that sounds for an adult content, like, it's the sanitized version. It's the way that things have always gone right and this, that, and the other. Things don't always go right.
No, yeah. The sanitized version, as in, you know, the prettiest version they can gift you.
Right.
And things aren't always that pretty.
Yeah. I mean, sex is kind of like Grindr. Sometimes it's going to go perfectly. Other times you're going to turn up and the person's going to look nothing like the photograph, you know? It's like... The point is, like... Don't be afraid that things will go wrong. Things will go wrong. That's kind of the point of fucking living in some ways. Things go wrong, you know?
Yeah.
That's life. But don't get caught up on the little things either. Like, you know... Sometimes you're going to get dirty when you're a fucking guy. Sometimes, you know, you're going to need to get some bigger condoms. Sometimes, you know, that particular lube brand you're going to learn doesn't work for you. See, you know, are okay.
Yeah, and there's always ways around them.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to learn until it happens, but then you're going to know, and you're going to know what to do next time.
Yep.
With that said... Please make sure, as much as things are going to happen, please make sure that you're following RAC and you're following SSC. Risk-aware consensual kink, making sure that you are aware of what the risks are, you have consent before the kink goes on, and safe, sane, consensual kink, where, you know, you've worked out what the risks are so you can be safe, you make sure that what you're doing is not, you know... out there and you know, going to be actively putting someone in danger, and that you have the consent to continue. Like, it's all well and good of sitting here and going, these things happen, mistakes get made. They do. Yep. But, you know, making sure that they happen in a safe environment is also important.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You, as much as they do happen, you want them to not happen.
Exactly.
As much as you can. Like, to a reasonable degree. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like, you can't plan for everything, but...
No.
You can have a plan for when you don't have a plan. Yeah. You know? I know how deaf that sounds, but, like, there'll be people sat there going, yeah, I understand that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. As, yeah, a lot of people say. You know, if you want to be completely safe, then you don't do anything. That's the safest thing to do. You'd never get anything done.
Exactly. So, 5-minute Marvel?
Sure.
Because I think we've hit everything that we can for now.
5-minute Marvel, then.
So,
I am Groot.
I'm
Groot has dropped.
It has.
Yeah. It was a lot shorter than I expected it to be.
Okay, I thought it was just me.
No, I thought, you know, each episode was going to be, I don't know, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's probably what I was expecting, and it turned out to be about 2.5.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting like a 5-10 minute like little vignette type of thing, akin to kind of, almost akin to like DreamWorks shorts.
Sure, okay. Because I was basing it on Baymax, which is what they've done with Big Hero 6. But yeah, it was even shorter than that.
I mean, literally, I think for like one of them, this 5-minute Marvel would be longer than the actual episode.
I don't know. It's one of the, well, because I looked at the length of the first episode for I Am Groot. And I'm like, okay, it comes out as 5 minutes, but it includes all the credits of every single like translation.
Yep. So in actuality, it's like 1:30.
Yeah.
I tell you what I do like, though. I like that they all have an alternate version of the Marvel intro. Mm. That's kind of a fun little touch.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, the Marvel intro is also very, very long.
Right?
The normal one. Yeah, that's like 1/2 minute long, at least. It's very, very long for film studio logos.
And I do kind of think that, like, that might be why they did it, so you don't quite notice it as much.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you said about the first one, because I was looking on Disney Plus and I found it very hard to work out if there's an order to them.
Yeah.
Because they're not numbered and they're all listed under individual listings.
I know. It's annoying that it's not come up as a series.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Like from, you know, from the titles, I'll go, okay, yeah, Groot's first steps is clearly the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, like, okay, you can quite clearly watch in any order.
Yep.
I just put them on as they came up, really.
So I haven't watched all of them yet. I've watched First Steps and I've watched, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one where he finds a little colony under the rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
First Steps I really liked. First Steps was fun. To me, that one kind of made sense that it was a bit shorter. I'd like to have seen a cameo in there, maybe. Mm. Like, whether it was just Drax in the background, just sort of looking over or something, you know? That would have been a fun little, like, nod to have in there. But...
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
So primarily, it's just Groot.
Yeah.
For all the episodes. Rocket does come in.
Oh, does he? Okay, yeah, I've not got that far yet.
Yeah. It's the last one that I watched, so I would class that as the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes sense for that one to be the last episode.
Fair enough. I don't know. I was also surprised that they all seem to be young Groot, from
they're
what I've
all,
seen.
They are all baby Groot.
Yeah.
That always be Groot.
Which, I mean, I guess sort of makes sense in the sense of, like, these are meant to be or at least I get the impression these are meant to be little vignettes, kind of for the kids sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a couple of, like, or not even a couple, just like a transition as you go through of kind of like taking Groot from baby Groot up to kind of where we last saw him type of thing.
Mm.
You know, just kind of like slice of life type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the timeline, I think they pitched it as it was after the main timeline is after the end of Guardians 2, mm-hmm. and before the first post credit scene of Guardians 2. That's where
they
where they have timed it.
Okay, that sort of makes sense. I don't know. I would have just liked to have seen. I guess I want to know what happened with Groot between those 2 points, between Endgame and that. You know,
primarily, I just want more.
Yeah.
It's not giving me enough.
Excelsior! No, I'm fully with you on that one.
Yeah.
So, what's on your joystick, Chris?
Okay, on my joystick is 2 points campus.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. I keep looking at this game. I haven't picked it up yet.
It's on Game Pass, so you don't... Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's on Game Pass. Okay. It's free.
I might be picking it up a lot sooner then.
It's not free, but yeah.
How is it?
I am having quite a good time with it. I played 2 Point Hospital before.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 Point Studios' previous game. On this one, it's quite a similar kind of mechanic. You're building a campus, like a school this time. They're again, various ridiculous courses that your students will get into.
I do like studying. The absurdity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I haven't seen 2 Point Campus, but I've seen 2 Point Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the absurdity of the way they represent some of these things, where it's just like, I can totally see what you're aping with that.
Yeah.
Please, like, have they carried on that kind of, I guess, through line?
Basically, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. The rooms are still completely ridiculous.
So, right.
Yeah, there's a cookery class. I can't remember what the actual course name is, like gastronomy or something. Like gastro and astronomy.
Nice.
And you know, in the rooms there are a massive, massive pot in the middle.
Right, okay.
When students were having class in that room, you come up with a humongous hamburger.
Oh God.
inside the pot.
Okay.
That kind of thing. There was also a particular level. That's the current level I'm at, where you're at a wizarding school.
Okay.
Of course, not based on anything at all.
Do the 2 Point games work akin to, like, the old Roller Coaster Tycoon style games, where it's just like you'll be given a location with some aims, but you can essentially build whatever you want out from there? Or is it much more focused down of, like, here is a location with these milestones, you must hit just these milestones and not deviate?
Oh, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
So you have to clear the first 4 levels.
Right.
In order to unlock the sandbox mode.
Got you. Okay.
So it's kind of a tutorial in itself, really, the first 4 levels. So they keep particular mechanics locked in until you get to a particular level, then you have to do that as well.
Or
the previous things that you were already doing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the progression they give you.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then the after level 4, then you can still do whatever you want, but there is an aim. There's an aim. There's a theme to each map, basically.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, as I said, there's the cookery college, and then there's the sports college.
Yep.
There's a wizarding school, that kind of thing.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time on that game.
Is it one of those games where you sit down and just like, I'll just have half an hour, and then it's like 3 hours later?
Yeah. It can be. It can be. So this game is broken into school years. So it's kind of relatively easy to stop after. Oh yeah, it's now the summer break.
Got you. Okay.
All my students have left.
Yeah.
So this is the natural point for me to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
So that is quite good in that way.
Yep. Interesting. No, I. My worry with these games is I know that it's very much probably one of those things. I'll sit down and have half an hour and end up on it 3 hours.
Mm.
But I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah. It can be like that, but there are natural stop points.
Right, game, okay.
Unlike a lot of other simulation games.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of why campus. I've had to kind of wean myself off Satisfactory. Because it's just like there's no natural stopping point on that game.
Mm. So yeah, that's 2 Point Campus. So what's on your joysticks?
So I've actually gone back to Borderlands. But more specifically Borderlands 3. Which is kind of interesting to me. When Borderlands 3 dropped, I enjoyed it. But it didn't... Something about the game didn't feel right. And I still, to this day, can't fully put my finger on what it was. It was then hampered... I think part of it was the story and the humour, but that's a whole other aside that I'm not going to massively get into right now. But I think it was further hampered when they started doing the seasonal events. Because they started doing the seasonal events and they upped the drop rate for like legendary weapons, etc. And that kind of ruined the game a bit for me. Because the joy in Borderlands 1 and 2 was the fact that, hey, this is a really cool weapon. I want to run and try and get this weapon. And then it was, hey, this is a really cool weapon, but I've not got the role on this that I want. I'm going to keep running and try and get this particular role. So then when they started dropping all the legendaries constantly, it kind of took a lot of the joy out of the game for me. Because it's just like, there was too many unique, as it were, weapons that had special effects, etc. And it was very hard to distinguish them from each other because it was that thing of when everything's special, nothing's special.
Yeah.
I recently went back, though, to Borderlands 3 because, like I said towards the start of the show, I've been craving a good shooter game.
That's fair.
And I think it was Mr. Ian who comes onto the show occasionally.
Yep.
He had been playing a little bit of Borderlands 3 in the slaughter areas. Now, the slaughter areas are basically just arenas where it's just going to throw wave after wave of enemies at you. It's essentially horde mode.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So we started messing with that. But you now have the choice of whether you have events on or not, because that game's basically reached like end of life, as it were, where there aren't any more updates or DLC coming for it. There's no more events being run in that because they've released Tiny Tina's.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got a bit more of a standard drop rate, although it's still... I'd still argue it's a little bit high, but it's not horrible.
Fair enough.
And you've got this environment in which you can mess around. And then because I'm post-game, I've also got access to Mayhem Mode. And Mayhem Mode, as you go through it, will increase your drop rates and increase like the damage output, increase the money output, etc. But then it'll add extra effects in. And you can re-roll these effects, and the level that you're on determines like how much of a difficulty it is. So it's been a really nice experience to kind of use these to kind of customize the game somewhat. So I think right now we've got through to Mayhem level either 4 or 5. Okay. We've got a modifier on it so that if we can kill something with a critical hit, it will basically explode with loot and create a mini explosion. But all of the enemies spawn with a little drone around them that heals them. So it's a constant heal. So you'll be shooting this thing and it'll be getting healed. So you need to make sure you're putting enough damage downrange to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kill the enemy, but you don't kill the drone will go off and find another enemy to heal. So it adds this extra layer of sort of strategy and an extra layer of sort of complexity to the encounters. And yeah. It, to me, it's kind of balanced out that thing of like, I want something where at the end of a stressful day or whatever, I can sit down and I can just play a shooter. But it's not having to relearn a new game and it's not too quick and it's actually got a nice bit of variation in there.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
So yeah, like nothing new as such, but kind of a retake on an older game.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I have a weird relationship with shooters, as you know.
Well, one other thing I like with Borderlands 3, which I didn't know, is they've also put in there, and for anyone who's like not seen this before, I didn't either, spoilers ahead, go to Sanctuary and go to Tanis's lab. In the back of the lab, there's an arcade machine. This arcade machine is a matching puzzle, and it's actually... Right. It's a collaboration with a university, I forget which university, and Gearbox Software, and the puzzles are based on genomic sequencing, and it's being used as a way to help with genomic sequencing for gut microbiomes to help advance scientific research. So literally, as you solve these different puzzles and things, they're helping with the genome sequencing stuff, and it's transmitting that back to the university for studies. And I think that's such a cool little thing of like where video games can like help with real world issues, etc.
Okay.
Like, it's not just the shooting side of it I've been messing around with. Like, if I've got 5 minutes, I'll just jump and I'll do that for a bit.
Okay. All right, interesting. I never knew Borderlands did that.
Neither did I. I stumbled on it one day, like last week, and I'm like, oh, okay. Hmm. I can like alleviate some boredom and do some good, sure.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's what's been on my joystick.
Cool.
And with that...
Yeah.
I think we're at the end of the season, Chris.
Okay. Is that good?
Yeah, I think it is. This is like we've got the full second season out. Full second year of Teabags and Joysticks.
It's true. Yep, it's good.
Okay, a little bit of warning on that would have been nice. But yeah, I guess that's all for now. We will be back.
We'll be back in about a month.
In about a month. I'm not going to say an exact time frame, an exact week, like X number of weeks, whatever. About a month. So if people do want to like have a look at our social media to keep an eye out for us when we're coming back, because we will announce it there, where should they look, Chris?
Oh, you'll find us on the social medias at TBNJ Podcast, and our links are at lnk.at/TBNJ Podcast. And please leave us voice messages at anchor.fm/TBNJ podcast.
Indeed. If you want to see what we're going... if you want to let us know what you want us to cover next season.
Yeah.
If you want to like tell us, hey, like we want more of this kind of thing, or hey, we want you to do this with the list, or whatever, fire us a message. This is not the end. This is simply we need to pause it for a month so that we can take a break because we're human too.
Yay. Are you sure?
I am. I don't know about you, boy.
It can be a drawing sometimes.
Sometimes. But yeah, for now, thank you very much for listening. I have been Si.
I've been Chris.
We shall see you when we come back. Bye.
Bye.